At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up next half hour, we'll talk more about the forced power outages in southeast Louisiana yesterday. LSU kind of lost power during the SEC tournament. Let's go live and direct to Baton Rouge and wish a very good morning to our WWL.com LSU columnist, Jeff Palermo. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Happy Memorial Day to you and yours.
Yeah, same to you.
Maybe more importantly to LSU baseball fans, today is selection day for the NCAA baseball tournament on the road to Omaha in the College World Series. We already know that LSU is a top 16 seed, which means they host a regional. We find out later if they'll be a top 8 seed, which will tell us if they get to host a super regional should they win the regional, right?
That is exactly right. And based on the projections, based on some of the projected brackets that are out there, LSU has done enough to be a top 8 national seed, probably falling somewhere around the 6 or 7 spot as far as a national seed. They did a lot of things right this season, winning 19 conference games. You had 20 if you count the win against Texas A&M on Friday night. They had a really good record against what they refer to as quadrant one teams, which is your record against some of the best teams in the country. The one thing that's hurt them or one thing that has put this into a little bit of a doubt, and I mean just a very, very tiny little bit of a doubt, is their non-conference schedule really drags them down a little bit when you take a look at their RPI. I mean, their RPI, they're outside of the top 10. When it comes to the RPI, but that's just kind of the way it works.
Yeah, they try to play a lot of in-state schools on those Tuesday night games because I think that fans like that. But I don't know that fans realize that by playing the Gramblings and the Southeasterns and the UL Lafayettes of the world, that while it's great for the fans, it does bring down their strength of schedule a little bit, and it does it now call into question how competitive they are. Although I don't know, it's also confusing that they've been 1, 2, or 3 in all of the publication rankings all season long, but now you're talking about them being a 6, 7, or 8. How is it that the top ranked team by the writers isn't one of the top ranked teams by the selection folks?
Yeah, when you look at WarrenNolan.com, which is a very good website to take a look at all this stuff, they have their RPI at 10. And a big reason why is because of, and again, as you mentioned, the last 2 weeks they've been ranked number one in the Major League Baseball polls, but their non-conference schedules ranked 221 in the country. And when you look at teams like Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Auburn, they're in the 50s and the 70s. Texas has got a pretty high low, if you would, non-conference strength of schedule at 203. But they they won the Southeastern Conference. You know, they won it basically going away. But again, when you go to that, you know, what you were just talking about as far as the non-conference schedule, you know, not only, you know, they've always been playing the in-state schools, but it was a down year for UL Lafayette. It was a down year for Louisiana Tech. They played Nicholls twice. Nicholls is the two-time defending champions in the Southland Conference, but they had a real down season. So even the in-state schools were even having a down season. And then when you go all the way back to non-conference before conference play started and your weekend series there and you're playing the North Alabamas of the world and the Purdue Fort Waynes, you know, those were two teams that at this point last year, they did not have them scheduled. They had a couple of other teams that would have been, you know, one from a Power 5 school or a Power 4 school, but they dropped out. They decided not to, they didn't want to play the games at LSU, and that left Jay Johnson scrambling for opponents, looking for anybody that he can basically get to fill the schedule. And so the conference, this is not necessarily what Jay Johnson wanted. And then even when they went over to Frisco, they played a team like Sam Houston, who is normally very good, but this year had a real down season. So all that really hurt LSU's non-conference strength of schedule, and therefore it hits them a little bit on their RPI.
So they weren't trying to schedule powder puff games during the midweek. Yeah. It's just that the teams that they happen to schedule, which some have had very good success in the past, this year, for some whatever reason, most of their non-conference opponents were just having bad years. So that hurts their strength of schedule, and that hurts their potential seeding. But you still feel like they are a top eight seed, even if they're not a top five seed.
Yeah, I think, you know, the question is, and I think this will happen, LSU will get, or excuse me, not LSU, but the Southeastern Conference will get six out of the eight will be top eight national seeds. You're talking Vandy, Georgia, Auburn, Texas, Arkansas, and LSU. You know, Coastal Carolina is ranked higher in the RPI than LSU. They're in at number eight.
Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, so there you go. So who do you think when the tournament selection committee takes a look at it and is trying to determine who's going to get a top eight national seed? Are they going to take it someone like Coastal Carolina, who just had an unbelievable season in the Sun Belt this year, going 26-4, or someone like LSU, who played very well at home, played very well, you know, during the course of the conference season, really played consistently, really only had one bad weekend all year when they got swept by Auburn. And I mean, it's just, you know, LSU should be getting that nod over Coastal Carolina for that top eight national seed.
We're talking to Jeff Palermo on Selection Monday for the NCAA baseball tournament. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jeff if we should be concerned. Not that LSU didn't win their conference tournament, because I think a lot of people didn't expect the Tigers to do what it takes to win the SEC tournament based on the fact that they have a bigger prize on the horizon. But should we be concerned that the bats went quiet? It wasn't that they didn't have enough pitching. It was that they couldn't find the offense. We'll see how concerned Jeff is about that. And now that it's double elimination the rest of the way through the regional and super regional and into the College World Series, how did LSU do when they had the opportunity throughout the season? He talked about that one series they got swept, but other than that, this is a pretty good team at coming and finding what they need to find when they need to find it. So we'll focus on that and the LSU baseball team after this. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Back with Jeff Palermo on WWL. 6:24, coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to get a public service commissioner in here for the state of Louisiana to tell us, was yesterday's power outage an isolated incident, or is that going to be the new normal? Are we going to join many other regions of the country in having forced power outages because of too much demand and not enough supply? We'll do that in about 20 minutes. Right now, we're talking to Jeff Palermo, our LSU WWL.com columnist, about today's selection process for the baseball tournament. tournament for the NCAA, and if LSU has done enough to be a top eight seed going into the regional play and hopefully making it all the way to Omaha in the College World Series. Jeff, the bats went quiet in that first game of the SEC tournament for the Tigers after the third inning, and they didn't get a single run the rest of that game or at all in their last game in the SEC tournament. You kind of expected the pitching perhaps to be an issue as they're saving everyone for the regionals and super regionals and hopefully World Series, but were you surprised that the bats were so quiet these last 12 innings?
Well, we've been seeing this. Maybe not to this extent, you know, only two hits in the last 15 innings there at Hoover, which is not very good. And it wasn't like you were facing the top line pitchers at that point. You were facing, you know, weekend starters.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Freshmen, number three starters, and you really couldn't generate much offense in those two games that you played against A&M and Ole Miss. But we've been seeing this for most of the season since conference play started when LSU has played away from Alec Box Stadium. And if you look at the 17 games that they have played since the start of conference season away from Alec Box Stadium, they're only averaging four runs a game. And it's really only that high because there are a couple games there, like against Oklahoma, and they scored, I think, 10 runs once. They scored 11 again. You know, there's a couple, you know, times where the offense did come together and they actually put up some runs. And then it gets a little bit inflated when you played like teams like, you played South Carolina on the road and they're not very good. So that kind of helps. So it's really been an issue that we've seen all season long. And it is concerning that, you know, if LSU, you know, wins its regional, goes to super regional, you know, what is this team going to do offensively when they get to Omaha? And the conditions, you look at really all the games that were played at the SEC tournament, not a lot of runs were being scored. The wind was blowing in. The ball just wasn't carrying this week at Hoover. And we've seen it at the College World Series. You can have very similar conditions where you're just not having a lot of, you're not having a lot of offense. And so if they get to the College World Series, I mean, they're going to be able to score a lot of runs. But here's the good thing, I think, for LSU is they have the top two pitchers in the country starting-wise as far as a 1-2 combination in Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson. And you can lean on those guys if they're able to get to the College World Series. You would likely throw Cade Anderson in game one. You got a good chance at winning that game. And then if you win that game and then you pitch Anthony Ianson, again, you got a good chance to win that game, even if you're only scoring a couple of runs. And then if you win that game, then that puts you just one win away from getting to the championship series, and whoever plays you has to beat you twice. So LSU may have to rely a lot on that pitching. But let's see. You know, they'll be back at the box. They've been able to score runs at a better clip when they've been playing at the box. Let's see if they can't get into a groove here a little bit more offensively and take some confidence with them if they're able to make it to Omaha.
And baseball is a different sport, obviously, and it really is built around series. We see it at the major league level, but also obviously at the college level. And one thing LSU has done very well this season, they've lost some games, but they haven't lost a lot of series. They are able, when it is best 2 out of 3, double elimination, whatever, to find what they need to get through those situations.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is pitching. Because you have Kate Anderson and Anthony Hyatt, and those guys are just difficult to beat. You might be able to get one of them, but I don't think, you know, other than the Auburn series, both of them have, or one of them has at least helped you win one of those games. And then what we've also seen here, and I think what was encouraging about Saturday was you saw a guy like Jaden Nuke go out there and give you 4 strong innings as a third starter for you. Chase Shores has looked really good out of the bullpen. And then Jacob Myers is a guy that we've been kind of waiting for to really develop and emerge out of the bullpen because, I mean, he's a guy that could throw in the upper 90s, and he pitched very well in Hoover. And they didn't even use Zach Cowan or Cason Evans. So they got enough pitching to get this done. It's going to come down to can this team offensively score enough runs. And I don't blame LSU fans for being concerned about that because that was, very alarming to watch this team just really struggle to get anything going offensively for those last 15 innings. That's not a good sign.
But let's hope the pitching can carry them and they find just enough offense. Thank you, Jeff. We'll find more from you at WWL.com. Looking forward to see what you have to say after today's selection. Thank you, Jeff, and happy Memorial Day. Someone upset I keep saying happy Memorial Day. We'll talk about that coming up after news on WWL. Man, did people light up the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line yesterday afternoon when suddenly electricity was turned off to tens of thousands of people across southeast Louisiana. Entergy says they only got a 3 to 5 minute notification from MISO. That's the organization, that's the independent organization that oversees the power grid for the central part of the United States and Canada, by the way, all the way from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico. And they ordered Louisiana power providers to turn off some of the electricity in what they call a load shed, which is a term for meaning don't use so much electricity. And suddenly the power was off to homes, to businesses, to churches, to fairs and festivals, to all kinds of, it was indiscriminate. And I don't know how Entergy determined which sections of the grid to shut off, but they had to get enough of the power turned off so that there was no longer a demand outpacing the supply of electricity. And for us here in southeast Louisiana, this is kind of foreign territory. This is not something that we deal with on any regular basis. I was trying to think back, and I do remember 25 to 30 years ago, there were some rolling brownouts. There were some days when power was not enough to meet the demand during the heat of the summer, but it's not something that we've had to deal with in a generation. And so I understand the anger and the frustration and the confusion that many people were feeling yesterday when suddenly their power was turned off. And in many cases, they didn't know why till they listened to the news, till they got a notification. NOLA Ready, the emergency management alert system for the city of New Orleans, didn't tell users until over an hour later why the power was out when they were notified that it was a mandatory blackout, that it was required by regulators to reduce the demand. And so it happened at 4:48. At 6 o'clock or so, suddenly NOLA Ready sends out the notification that you lost power because there wasn't enough power for everyone and they had to reduce the electrical demand. You would think that with this being a thing across the country, we've heard about it for ages on the West Coast, And now many parts of the nation deal with this on a regular basis, that there's not enough electricity to meet the demand, so they do this, that there'd be a better system for notifying folks beforehand, saying, hey, they're going to have to turn off your power. Hey, they're going to have to reduce the electrical load, that they would notify everyone before they turn it off. Why didn't they? Well, let's find out. We now have on the live line one of our public service commissioners for the state of Louisiana, Devante Lewis. Devante, thank you for joining us here on WWL.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. This is foreign territory for us, not something we've had to deal with, but I know you're well aware that it's happened in other parts of the state and across the country many times. Was yesterday a blip, a isolated incident, or is this something that we're going to have to start dealing with on a regular basis, do you think?
I think that's a question to be answered. As we know, load shed events are not frequent. We have not had many in Louisiana or across our territory of the regional transmission organizations that Louisiana's utilities are a part of. However, this is the third load shed event in Louisiana in the last 2 months. We had two in the Southwest Power Pool that affected like Bossier, Houghton, Shreveport, one day in April and the second day in April, and now to have another load shed event in the other RTO, which would be MISO, that affected, of course, the North Shore, Jefferson, Orleans and portions of Southeast Louisiana is a very uncommon factor, but there's some real questions that we need to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, you know, we learned that two power plants, one was scheduled to be offline for maintenance and another went down in our region. So that's unusual that we had two power plants not producing electricity at the same time on a day when the heat index was at 105. In fact, when they turned the electricity off, it was 91 degrees at the airport in Kenner, felt like 105, and people were pumping those AC units to try and stay cool, and maybe too much to a point where we couldn't provide enough electricity. So I guess the answer to the question is we don't know going forward if we'll have to deal with this again, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, to have two power plants down is not unusual. Typically what happens with the utility is if you are going to schedule maintenance, you give notice to the regional transmission organization at least 4 weeks in advance. They approve it, and what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to have enough generation to meet the demand, even if there is a blimp in the system. So what this actually does mean is the question is not that two power plants were out. The question is, why was the forecast so wrong to ensure that we had enough generation, which would be enough power to meet the demand? And so we have seen some challenges in one of the load shed events in Shreveport just last month. The challenge was that the forecast had it 6 degrees cooler than what it was. And then the forecasting was completely off. And so there are some questions. I'm investigating this portion. This could be related to some of the DOGE cuts at the federal government of those who are predicting the weather patterns, which utilities and the RTOs use to make their load forecasting as well. So this is a complicated kind of question that has multiple parts, that has some responsibility at the utility, some responsibilities at the regional transmission organization. But another question I have is, has this been a direct effect of some of the national federal cuts we've seen to services that we utilize to ensure that the power stays on?
We're talking with Devante Lewis, Public Service Commissioner for the state of Louisiana. You represent Region 3 in Louisiana, which is kind of the middle of the state of Louisiana and portions of the New Orleans metro area. The thing I think that was most concerning to me and to many people we've been hearing from here at WWL Radio is that there was no warning. Did MISO not see the demand building to a point where they could say, hey, guys, be ready. If this kind of trajectory of use continues, we're going to have to shut some of it off? Or was it just suddenly all at once someone said, oh, my goodness, the demand's outpacing the supply. Turn it off. If Entergy really only got 3 to 5 minutes notice and could not warn customers they were about to turn their electricity off, shouldn't something be done to improve that communication system? Because it's a lot easier to take if we know ahead of time our power is going to be off than suddenly it goes off and we don't find out why for minutes or hours later.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Trying to figure out why there was such a short notice of capacity shortfall. I mean, the real question that I believe Councilwoman Moreno and Morrell and I will get to it, and it was part of our statement we released last night. But there are some proactive tips that we should be doing, right? I mean, and this is why I say this is a complex issue. We have had significant problems with some of our utilities here in Louisiana, fighting MISO to expand transmission capacity, which means build more transmission lines. So as you look at MISO's price index on their website last night, you saw there was a lot of cheap power in the north, in Michigan, in Missouri, in Illinois, that could have been able to flow down to Louisiana to save us from this capacity shortfall that we were seeing because the generators were located here in the southeast. That wasn't an option because we've had, quite frankly, Entergy has fought to expand transmission to not be able to have cheaper power come flow through. So there's a lot of things that we have to talk about. Why do we not have a better energy efficiency program? Why are we not looking at demand response, which would allow, when there's a capacity shortfall, utilities and industrial users to be able to shave off some of the power that they're not really accessing to save the grid? But also it is, why did it take so long with so short notice for the RTO to recognize that we were going to hit a capacity shortfall so we could go into some conservation measures, which we could have sent to customers to say, we are experiencing high pressure right now. The grid is unreliable. Please conserve energy if you can. So there, like I keep saying, there's some real complex items, but this is not just a what happened on Sunday. This is 20 years in the making of challenges that the RTO and the utility needs to really answer for.
Devontae Lewis, Public Service Commissioner, thank you for joining us. A lot of questions that need to be answered. Please keep in touch with us as you try to get those answers and let us know as we figure out, was this an isolated incident or is this something that's going to happen more going forward? Thank you, Devontae Lewis, joining us this morning on WWL. We're back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.